We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 229. 229 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Our phone number, 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Call us if you have questions or comments. We'd like to hear from you. We're talking about the refutation of Dr. Ernest Pickering on Bible translations. It's a very effective way of bringing up comments and argumentation against the new, against the King James Bible and for the New International Version. We're refuting these arguments because they're standing in favor of these new versions. Dr. Pickering is just one instance, one example, one sword bearer, you might say, or flag bearer of the new look against the old book. The new look against the old book, against the King James Bible. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, as we've said. We're the director of the Bible for Today. If you'd like more information about our Bible for Today ministry, write us. We'll send you why the Bible for Today and the Bible for Today news report that's the most recent that's come off the press. Also, if you'd like more information on the Dean Burgon Society, please write us for that and ask for the Articles of Faith. We'll send you the Dean Burgon news. And then we have a brochure number one, over 700 titles that we carry that stand in favor of the King James Bible, that receive Greek text that underlies it, the Hebrew Masoretic text that underlies the Old Testament. We'd be glad to send you brochure number one, 8 large pages, over 700 titles that we carry. We're a Baptist organization, a fundamental organization, preaching the Word of God, and this particular program is standing in defense of traditional Bible texts, especially in the English language, the King James Bible. All right, you may write us for this refutation of Dr. Pickering on Bible translations. It's BFT number 2040P. BFT number 2040P. Write us for it. It's a large page study, and we'll tell you how you may receive your copy of this important documentation. Over 60 pages of comments, 73 comments actually, and we're on Dr. Pickering, and by the way, at the back of this study, we have Dr. Pickering's paper, short brief paper on Bible translation, so that you'll see for yourself that we're not misquoting, we're not taking anything out of context, but we're quoting exactly as we refute what we consider to be errors in Dr. Pickering's comments and understanding of Bible translations. All right, we're on page 42 of our study, and this is comment number 63, Dr. Pickering's page 12, and our comment 63 through 67. Comment number 63 out of 73 altogether, the NIV, NASV, and New King James Version use much paraphrase. Now notice, the New International Version, New American Standard Version, and New King James use much paraphrase. Here's Dr. Pickering's question number 22. It was this. What are some guidelines by which to judge a translation? Unquote. Now this is his quotation. What are some guidelines as to how to judge a translation? Here's his answer, Dr. Pickering says. Is it a true translation? Paraphrases such as the Living Bible would not be suitable since they are really commentaries on the text rather than true translations. Commentaries on the text rather than true translations. Well, what's my comment on that? Well, the Living Bible is not the only paraphrase and commentary. Now, that's the statement that is simply misleading. To say, it says paraphrases such as the Living Bible, but he doesn't name any others, as mentioned before, in the, to the extent that the modern versions partake in paraphrase, to that same extent, they are not true translations. Now, this includes the New International Version. It's not a true translation. Dr. Pickering believes that it is. He's preached from it. He's used it. He's encouraged an entire church in Ohio, the Emmanuel Baptist Church of Dayton, Ohio, to use it. And he has told them that this is the way to go. But there are 6,653 examples of paraphrase that we have listed in our book on the New International Version. This includes the New American Standard Version with over 4,000 examples of paraphrase. We have that study available as well. Write us for it if you're interested. This also includes the New King James Version with over 2,000 examples of paraphrase, according to our study again, which is available. If you'd like to have it, write us for it, and we'll tell you how you may receive your copy. To this extent, these are commentaries which add to, which subtract from, and which change the words of God as given to us in the Hebrew and the Greek. Now, these three that I have listed, the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the New King James Version, are by no means the only paraphrases, the only ones that are paraphrasing the Word of God, but these are the three that the fundamentalists are gravitating towards. These are the three that the Bible-believing evangelicals and fundamental Bible-believing Christians are using. And they're the ones we are focusing upon because of this fact. Now, it stands to reason that the Revised Standard Version partakes of paraphrase. We're going over that right now in our mornings that we're not on the radio broadcast, and we're analyzing the Revised Standard Version. That's one the liberals use. That's one the modernistic churches use, and there are all sorts of paraphrases there. And we realize the New English Bible is pure paraphrase. That is a paraphrase and a half. We realize that today's English version, Good News for Modern Man, is a paraphrase. And all these new versions, these modern versions, the Jerusalem Bible, these other ones, are paraphrase and commentary in large extent and to a large part. But we're focusing upon the three that fundamentalists have been duped over. And these are the three that we have written about because of this fact. And so it's not just the Living Bible, but these others as well partake in paraphrase and in commentary. By the way, if you're interested in our analysis for the Bible for Today publication of the Living Bible as a paraphrase, please write us. We have a special price that we have offered, the Paraphrase Perversion of the Bible. It's by Dr. Gene Nowlan, Now with the Lord, published and edited by the Bible for Today and yours truly. And it's available to our listeners. If you'll write us for it, we'd be glad to tell you how you may receive your copy of this important documentation against the Living Bible and showing that it is paraphrased perversion. And all of us understand that. All of us agree with that. But why do we not also agree that to the extent that these other versions, New King James, New American Standard, New International, to the extent that they partake in paraphrase and commentary, they are also guilty of what the Living Bible does, only the Living Bible does it to a far greater extent. But we must face reality. There are different methods these days of rendering Hebrew and Greek, Old and New Testament, into the English language, and Spanish and French and all these other languages. There are two separate, distinct methods of doing this. Regardless of the text from which you translate, you have one method that is translation. That's what the King James Bible has used. You have the other method, which partakes and glorifies and permits paraphrase or dynamic equivalency. And that is paraphrase, pure and simple. All right, well, comment number 64, 64 out of 73. Belief in inerrancy is not enough. Belief in inerrancy is not enough. Dr. Pickering wrote, quote, is it produced, that is, these translations or these paraphrases, these books that purport to be the Bible, they say, he says, is it produced by men who believe in the inerrancy of Scripture? Translations such as the Revised Standard Version, produced by men who in large part were liberals, would be ruled out, unquote. Well, is inerrancy of the Scriptures enough? That's the question. First of all, I do not believe that each and every person connected with either the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, or the New King James Version believes in the total and complete inerrancy of the words of the Bible. I think of Dr. Virginia Mollenkopf. We've talked about her before on the broadcast, for example, who was connected with the New International Version. She by no means believes in the inerrancy of the words of the Bible. I'm sure there are others. The popular view, you know, of limited inerrancy has spread throughout the evangelical world, so-called, limited inerrancy. That is the idea that the only things that are inerrant, as the original languages were produced, Hebrew and Greek, and as the original autographs were produced, the only thing these people say that is inerrant is limited to the things that deal with theology and God. But facts of history are not inerrant, they say. Facts of geography are not inerrant, they say. And other things, facts of science are not inerrant, these people say, who believe in limited inerrancy. And we have a number of people, we believe strongly, that are believers in not complete inerrancy, total inerrancy, but limited inerrancy. And these are the ones, many of them, who are sitting on the translation or the paraphrase committees of these versions of the Bible. New American Standard, New International Version, New King James Version. And so that's the first thing. Some of them believe in limited inerrancy. But in the second place, there is more to Bible translation than merely believing in the inerrancy of its words. There must be a willingness to convert each and every word in the proper Hebrew and the proper Greek texts into both verbal equivalences and formal equivalences, which is precisely what the New International Version, New American Standard Version, and New King James Version have failed in thousands of instances to do. In other words, you may have inerrant words. You may even believe that God has preserved those words in the Masoretic Hebrew text that underlies the King James Bible. You may even believe, as I do, that God has preserved the very words in the Greek text that underlies our King James Bible, the received Greek text. And even though you believe in the original inerrancy of the words of Hebrew and Greek, and inerrancy simply means absolute perfection right from the hand of God, no errors of any kind, of any sort whatsoever, you may believe that you have in the Hebrew copies and the Greek copies today, which I believe, you may believe that the very words of God, they're inerrant. I believe that. But translation, trans from across and lation from latus to carry or to bear, to bear a cross and to carry a cross from Hebrew into English, from Greek into English, of the very words of God, translation depends upon a method, a proper method, a proper mindset. And this method or this mindset has been virtually destroyed by modern so-called translators who are in reality paraphrasers. And this method of dynamic equivalence, this method that is used in large measure, in fact almost in toto by the Wycliffe Bible translators, for example, this method, this mindset, says that you need not render the words of God anymore into the words of the language in which you're translating, whether that's English or Spanish or French or German or whatever language. They say that you can paraphrase it. You can dynamically equivalentize it. You can make it equivalent, and yet you can change it. Now, how can you have equivalent change? It's like having hot, cold. It's like having up, down. It's like having in, out. It's like having something that is not possible. You can't have something dynamic, which is moving and changing, and yet have it equivalent to something else. You can't do it. Impossible. And so the text of Scripture, which I believe is the most important one for us to understand of all the verses of Scripture, is found in 1 Corinthians. If you have your Bible handy and can turn to it, I wish you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 gives us what God has wanted us to know concerning, I believe, among other things, the translation of His words. In verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Notice, God wants us to know the things that are freely given to us of God. And how can we know them if we know not Hebrew and we know not Greek? Unless we have a faithful representation of those words and those things that are of God in our own language, in our mother tongue, our heart language, as they call it. We don't know the things which are of God. And Paul says, notice in not only 1 Corinthians 2:12, but notice 1 Corinthians 2:13. The things that are freely given to us of God, which things, verse 13 says, also we speak. Which things, that is the things of God, we speak. Now notice the next phrase. We speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, we're having spiritual things communicated with spiritual or spirit-given words, and the words are not and should not be the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but that the words which the Holy Spirit is teaching. And these words are the things that are at stake in this battle for our Bible. It's the word, and it is the words plural, that are at stake in the battle for the Bible. And this is what we're fighting for, the very words of the living God, not paraphrases, not commentaries, not dynamic equivalencies, but verbal equivalences. That is, the very words being equivalent where possible. Formal equivalences, the very forms where possible, brought over from Hebrew to English or whatever language, and Greek into English or other languages. All right, comment number 65 out of 73. I agree that one-man translations are not satisfactory. I agree with that. Dr. Pickering wrote, one-man translations, Moffat's, Phillips, have limitations because they are the results of only one person's ideas, unquote. I would agree with this point. This is one of the reasons why the King James Bible is so excellent a translation. It made use of the team technique of translation unlike any before or since. It's a very amazing story of the team technique of the companies, the six companies that the King James Bible translators used. And it has never been copied either before or since, as we've said. In fact, there's some details that are given on this in such books as The Man Behind the King James Version by Payne. We carry that, by the way. It's available. It's number 584. BFT number 584. If you're interested in this book, which gives the background of it, write us, and we'll tell you how you may receive your copy of The Man Behind the King James Version by Payne. All right, comment number 66 out of 73. Readability and clarity are outweighed by the need for accuracy. Readability and clarity are outweighed by the need for accuracy. Dr. Pickering wrote, quote, "Is it readable?" He's talking about these so-called translations or paraphrases, as the case may be. Is it readable? And does it have clarity? This is important. To what extent does the translation communicate to the hearer? Unquote. That's Dr. Pickering's comment on readability and clarity. Well, what is my comment on that? The most important question is, to what extent has there been an accurate and faithful transference, an accurate and faithful transference from Hebrew and Greek into the language in question? That's my solid comment on readability and clarity. It might be ever so readable and have the utmost clarity, but what is the relation between the correspondence with the original language texts of Hebrew and Greek? That is the answer, and that is the question. My wife just recently received, as we ordered, a parallel version between the King James Bible and the New International Version so that she could see some of the comparisons. And she asked me just this morning, as this tape is being made, is the Greek word for walk the same as the Greek word for live? And I said no. Peripateo is the general word for walk. And live could be from bios or zao, or to live or to have life. These are other forms, but they're entirely different Greek words and different concepts. And the reason she was asking this is, and I've noted this many times before, is that the New International Version, almost without exception, although there are exceptions, changes the Greek picture and the Greek wording of walk, walk in the Spirit, or walk around and walk in the Lord, and so on, into the figure of live, simply live, which is not the Greek term, which is not the word in question, and it's not the figure of speech that's used by the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to be speaking the words, not which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, we're going to be able to have the very words of God. And if God says walk, we've got to say walk, not live. It's a walk. Each step is an incipient fall, as Dr. Louis Spray Schaefer used to say in Dallas Theological Seminary, and as his book, He That Is Spiritual, says very clearly, each step you can fall if the other foot doesn't come down in front of it. And so, these things are very vital, that we not only have clarity. Now, it's very clear. It's very clear. It's very readable to say live. The word live, you can understand it. And I tell my wife, I said to Mrs. Wade, I said, you can read, and it's probably clear and understandable, readable, but the question is, does it conform to the Greek and the Hebrew text from which it is paraphrased? And that's the issue. And in large measure, it does not conform, because it adds to God's words, it subtracts from God's words, and it changes God's words repeatedly. And we've given 6,653 examples of that in the New International Version. If you're interested in that, it's number 1749P, 284 large pages. Write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy of this important documentation. Our number again is 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. All right, we're on page 44. We're talking about Dr. Ernest Pickering, his comment on Bible translations. We're on page 44 of number 2040P. Number 2040P, refutation of his work on Bible translations. We're at comment number 67 out of 73. Attitudes toward genuine translations versus paraphrases. Dr. Pickering's question number 23 was this, quote, what should be our attitude toward those who use a translation which is produced by evangelical scholars who believe the Word of God but is different from the translation we prefer? Now, that's the question that he asks. Well, we should always have a positive attitude toward genuine translations in whatever language we find them. I agree. A positive attitude. But we should disdain with all of our might those imposters which are mere pretenders to translation, which are wolves in sheep's clothing in reality. That is, paraphrases. We should disdain those. Those are imposters. Our attitude should be to shun them, to expose them, to argue against them, to fight them, to battle them as being imposters and those things that will take the believers down wrong paths of doctrine, wrong paths of living and of life, wrong paths in the gospel, wrong doctrines, pernicious doctrines. This would rule out, not in, but rule out the NIV, the New International Version. It would rule out the New American Standard Version. It would rule out the New King James Version, plus all these others that the liberals and unbelievers use. It would include only, in the English language at least, the King James Bible, because it's the only translation that is available. Now, regardless of how it's produced by evangelical scholars, as he says, who believe the Word of God and so on, what should our attitude be? We should disdain all paraphrases, all perversions of the truth and the Word of God. All right, let's take a look at Dr. Pickering's pages 13 and 14, and my comments number 68 through 73. Comment number 68 out of 73, we're on page 44 of our study. We should stand up strong for our beliefs on the subject of Bible translations. Did you hear me? We should stand up strong and straight on our beliefs on the subject of Bible translations. Dr. Pickering wrote, quote, we should guard our attitudes carefully. Some persons who are ardent apostles or advocates, rather, of the superiority of a given translation are harsh and even vitriolic in their descriptions and condemnations of those who use any other translation than the one they view as approved. Such attitudes and words should be avoided. Unquote. Well, I have been talking and writing concerning Dr. Pickering's booklet. I don't believe that I have either been harsh or vitriolic toward him. I've been forceful in my comments, forceful in my beliefs, and bedrock convictions, but I do not believe that this is out of line at all. I believe that we should be strong and definite in our convictions as far as what we believe the Bible is, and where it is, and what and where the Bible is not. And this is certainly what we're trying to do. Well, we're not going to go on beyond this at this broadcast time. We hope that next week you'll tune in again. We're going to continue this. I believe this matter of attitudes and are we ardent advocates who are harsh? No. Are we ardent advocates who are vitriolic? No. Bitter? No. but strong in our defense of the very words of the living God, strong in our defense of the doctrines of the living God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ who wrote these words and wants them to be put down accurately and faithfully. We do not blush from the defense of our Savior and His words. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Dr. D.A. Waite speaking, and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next week. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 230. 230 weeks of broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Our phone number, 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. And write it down and call us if you have questions or comments. We'd like to hear from you. We're talking today about the refutation of Dr. Ernest Pickering on Bible translations. It's number 2040P. 2040P, 60 large pages. Write us or call us and we'll tell you how you may receive your copy of this important documentation. If you'd like more information on our Bible for Today ministry, write us for Why the Bible for Today, also our BFT News Report, and the brochure number one, giving over 700 titles that we carry defending the King James Bible as superior and against the various versions, standing also for the received text and Hebrew text that underlies our King James Bible. If you'd like more information on the Dean Burgon Society, write us for that as well. We'll send it to you, Articles of Faith, and in the Dean Burgon News. So right now, we're talking about Dr. Pickering's questions and answers on Bible translations. We differ with him. We disagree with him. We're winding down this particular analysis. Dr. Pickering is a fundamentalist, same as I am. He's a Baptist, same as I am. He's a separatist, same as I. But we differ completely on Bible translations and on the Greek text of the New Testament that should be followed. And so we're on comment number 68. We're on page 44 of our report. And again, if you'd like to receive it, write us or call us, 609-854-4452, and ask for BFT number 2040P. 2040P, the refutation of Dr. Ernest Pickering on Bible translations. We're on comment number 68 out of 73. We began it last week and the last broadcast, but I would like to review just briefly a few things. Number 68, the comment, should we stand up strong for our beliefs on the subject of Bible translations? Well, I believe we should. Dr. Pickering wrote this, quote, "We should guard our attitudes carefully. Some persons who are ardent advocates of the superiority of a given translation are harsh and even vitriolic in their descriptions and condemnations of those who use any other translation than the one they view as approved. Such attitudes and words should be avoided," unquote. Well, there's something to be said for what he has written there. I've been talking and writing concerning Dr. Pickering's booklet. I don't believe I have either been harsh or vitriolic toward him. I've been forceful in my comments. I've been forceful in my beliefs. I've been forceful in my bedrock convictions. But I don't believe that this is out of line at all. And I believe that we should be strong and definite in our convictions as far as what and where the Bible is and what and where the Bible is not. This is a bedrock issue. Now, certainly we have a strong stand, and we should have a strong stand, in defense of the faith. Jude 1:3 commands us to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, that scripture in Jude 1:3, I believe we should bear in mind. We should not take the Bible issue off the shelf and put it to one side and say, really, we cannot get worked up about it. We cannot get emotional about it. We cannot get enthusiastic about it. Because most certainly the Bible issue is the most important element of that faith for which we are to earnestly contend. I believe that earnest contending demands that we become ardent advocates, burning advocates, strong advocates of what we believe to be the superiority of a given translation. Now, in my case, it's the King James Bible and the underlying Hebrew and Greek texts of that King James Bible. Dr. Pickering should be just as ardent for his position if he believes it to be the truth. And he is ardent for it. There's nothing wrong or unethical or unchristian about this, being ardent for your beliefs. Though harsh and vitriolic are adjectives that are subject to personal interpretation, we should be gentlemanly and respectful toward our opponents. That is certainly correct. We need light on those issues, which I am attempting to bring to this study, by the way, and not mere heat, though there's often heat that comes along with the production of light. And, of course, that is, I think, a true statement. And so this subject of Jude 1:3, earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. One of those elements of the faith, in fact, the most important element, is the very bedrock Bible that we are preaching from, the bedrock Bible that we are reading, memorizing, and holding to ourselves and to our hearts as being the Word of God in English or Spanish or French or whatever the language. This is important. It is of supreme importance. Without the Bible, we have no other theological dictum. We have no other theological point. No other theological verity or truth. We have nothing on which to hang our hats, as they say. If we have no Bible that we can depend upon, then our theology, our doctrines, our teachings are as undependable and as shifting as our Bible. Some people need to be aroused out of their sleep and slumber. As Dr. David Otis Fuller used to thunder out, there are a lot of sleeping, snoring Christians out there that have to be awakened from their sleep and lethargy, unquote. Now, this is a paraphrase of what I remember that he wrote to me various times and as he preached and spoke on this subject. But we do have sleeping, snoring Christians. We have Christians that are self-satisfied. We have believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, saved by the blood of Christ, redeemed. Oh, I love to proclaim it as Fanny Crosby's hymn goes, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And these are believers, redeemed ones, who are smug and complacent, thinking that there really is no value in this debate on the Bible. When in reality, this is the most important debate that is going on in the church today and in circles today. And the thing about it is, the modern perversions, the modern paraphrases, even of those that the fundamentalists and Bible-believing Christians and evangelical believers are using, they are winning without a battle because they are the ones that are being promoted and advertised by the big push of Wall Street and commercialism and the profit motive and the booksellers and the publishers. And the King James Bible, which is the pristine translation, the pristine and beautiful and wonderful and most accurate translation of the English language, of the Hebrew and of the Greek, that is being pushed aside by the publicity hounds and those who are talking and preaching and speaking. This is one reason why we have felt led of the Lord to begin and initiate these broadcasts, both the weekly broadcasts and the daily five-minute broadcast, Monday through Friday. If your station does not carry the weekly, or rather the daily broadcast, you're listening to the weekly one, why don't you call and ask them what time that we may be heard on their station as to weekly broadcast Monday through Friday, just 5 minutes a day, on the same general theme. We believe we must stand up and we must be strong and we must be ardent in defending that which we believe to be true theology. This carries with it also the need to be strong and ardent in opposing and exposing Bible versions and perversions which contain clear theological errors and which are based upon error-ridden Hebrew and Greek texts translated by inferior translators using error-ridden translation techniques and resulting in error-ridden theology. You are again urged, my friend, to obtain our BFT number 1845. That's the number of it, 158 specific passages where Christian doctrines and theology are affected because of false Greek textual variants. No one likes to be awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning to be told that their house is on fire, even if it is. Their cries might sound harsh, that is, these who are waking up the household. Or even they might sound vitriolic at that time in the morning. They may even appear ardent in their efforts to get you out of the burning building. But they care for you and want you to escape. And my friend, I care for you in this Bible battle, the Bible perversion battle, and the superiority of the King James Bible battle. I care for you. I care for your souls. I care for those beliefs that you are resting upon. And I want you to have the very best that God has given to us in the English language. I want you to go back to the King James Bible if you've forsaken it. I want you to see in it its beauty, its accuracy, not the inaccuracy. We received a letter the other day from one of our Bible for Today family, which they had a different acrostic, New International Version, and they changed it. I think it's interesting. New Inaccurate Version, NIV, New Inaccurate Version. It's interesting, isn't it? But I do care for you in this very, very important subject and battle. Write us for 1845. See for yourself 158 passages where doctrines are affected by textual variation and variance. Now, this is my desire. Toward those who insist upon remaining within the burning building of the Westcott and Hort House and the Nestle Island 26th edition Greek text house, I want people to be directed away from these versions and perversions. I want them to be steered back to the reliable, dependable, accurate King James Bible to get a proper theology as well as accuracy in translating the very words of the living God. The last broadcast, I call to your attention once again those important verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, where Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world," 1 Corinthians 2:12, "but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." And it's God's Holy Spirit that gave us the very things of God, that we may know what are freely given to us of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak. Notice, which things that are given to us of God we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. That is, the words implied, which the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so we have here the strong conclusion that any translation should be in the words which the Holy Spirit teaches, and not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. And the words are important. Not only to have verbal inspiration of the Scripture, plenary verbal inspiration, the very words inspired of God in the originals, but having those very inspired words preserved in the Hebrew and in the Greek, down to the very present hour, and then having those words translated so that we have a verbal equivalency in our translations. Now, this principle of verbal translation has been jettisoned, has been thrown away by modern translators, modern perverters, modern people who do not wish to continue that particular form of Bible translation. They call it paraphrase. They call it dynamic equivalency instead. Well, here's comment number 69 out of 73 on page 45 in our study, number 2040P. Write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy to follow along and to read and study this subject. Comment number 69, many who use the modern versions are leaning toward liberalism, new evangelicals, and dangerous compromisers. Now, notice this. Dr. Pickering wrote, quote, "Some view those who approve a translation different from the one they use as leaning toward liberalism, as new evangelicals, or at best as dangerous compromisers. This is a very unfair and unjust assessment," unquote. Well, once again, I question that the modern versions in many, many areas can properly be called translations. They are paraphrases. And when he says some view those who approve a translation different from the one they use, these are paraphrases he's talking about. He's not talking about the King James Bible, which is a translation, and there are a few others, not too many. It is certainly unfair and unjust to label a pastor or an individual as leaning toward liberalism, or new evangelical, or a dangerous compromiser, merely because he may use some particular version other than the King James Bible. It is true, however, that those who consistently use the Revised Standard Version, or the New Revised Standard Version, might be liberals or modernists, since that particular version is copyrighted by the National Council of Churches. And by the way, it's being used in churches that are apostate churches, liberal churches. Now, that's for the Revised Standard Version, the RSV, or the New Revised Standard Version, which has recently come out. Now, the same might be said for those who consistently use the New English Version, just as the Roman Catholics might use the Jerusalem Version, or the Douay Rheims Version, or the Catholic Confraternity Version. Now, we cannot generalize, this is true. Some of those using the Living Version are Roman Catholics. Some are Protestants. Some are saved. Some are probably lost. Some are new evangelicals. Some are probably fundamentalists. Some are probably liberals and modernists. Now, the same may be said for those who use the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, or the New King James Version, which many fundamentalists are using now. We must fight the errors of leaning toward liberalism, new evangelicalism, and or dangerous compromise on a separate basis and on their own ground. We must likewise fight the errors of the new versions on their own ground. We cannot and we must not mix the two. And I have never mixed the two in all of my ministry. I certainly do not consider Dr. Pickering, as I have said before, leaning toward liberalism. I don't consider him as a new evangelical. I don't consider him as a dangerous compromiser. He's a Baptist, fundamentalist, and separatist. So am I. Now, I use the King James Bible. He has in the past used the New International Version. He's written this pamphlet to his new church that he's recently become pastor of several years back, there in Minneapolis, Minnesota, explaining about Bible version. Now, whether he's going to go and launch into the New International Version in that church, the Fourth Baptist Church there, I'm not sure. I don't know what he's going to do. It may very well be that this pamphlet on Bible translations, questions and answers on it, was used also in his church at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio. I said last broadcast it was Dayton. I mean Toledo, Ohio. I'm sorry. Let's correct that. He may have used the same questions and answer technique, and later, after the people could understand what he was talking about, he may have then changed to the New International Version. Maybe he's going to do the same there in his church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I don't know. But he's a Baptist, a fundamentalist, and a separatist. So am I. We disagree radically on Bible versions. But this does not mean anything more nor less than this. I've tried to be as kind as I can toward Dr. Pickering personally, even though I disagree strongly with some of his positions on Bible versions. Now, I believe this is the way we should be in our differences with our fundamentalist brethren. I trust that we would be as kind to all fundamentalists, regardless of their positions, and yet we can be earnest in desiring to win them over to our own beliefs. And I would just trust that he would be as kind to me personally, Dr. Pickering, that is, as I have been to him, regardless of our differences in these matters. It must be remembered that many people have not studied this subject very deeply. You know that. Maybe you're one of them. They certainly have not read on the other side, the unpopular side, the minority view side. I was like that myself for almost 20 years or so, from 1952, when I used the actual Westcott and Hort Greek New Testament in Greek classes at Dallas Theological Seminary, until 1971, when I wrote my first paper against that text, after reading carefully about the real issues involved. So I was on the other side of this issue long enough to know that we must have great patience for those who do not see it our way. We've got to be patient. Give them time. Give them good, sound, intelligently written books. Pray for them. Don't give up on them. Keep a good spirit about you. Try not to let their difference on this point sour your friendship in Christ. Above all, agree to disagree without being disagreeable. Agree to disagree without being disagreeable. Now, that's sometimes very hard, isn't it? When we have ardent supporters on one side of a subject and ardent supporters on the other side of the subject, it's very difficult sometimes, as they say, to keep our cool. But that's what we must do. That's what we ought to do as believers, should we not? Now, I majored in the New Testament literature and exegesis there at Dallas Theological Seminary. Now, that's New Testament Greek, for my Master of Theology degree there, studying from 1948 through 1952. I had majored in classical Greek and Latin at the University of Michigan, and I was busy learning the Greek language. Didn't bother about the text we were reading from. I continued studying New Testament Greek at Dallas while majoring in Bible exposition from 1952 through 1955, receiving the Doctor of Theology degree, Ph.D., that year. I continued in the Westcott and Hort tradition from 1955 till 1971, when my reading and study changed my mind and direction on this particular subject. From 1971 to the present, over 20 years, I have been reading further, studying further, preaching about, writing about, debating, and teaching on this theme. During these 20 years, I have developed firm convictions. I believe I have strong and persuasive proofs regarding the superiority of the King James Bible in all areas. And this is why I'm trying to bring some of these out to your attention, who are listening to me on this broadcast, so that you also may have strong, firm convictions and persuasive proofs concerning the superiority of the King James Bible. I urge you again, write us or call us at 609-854-4452, 609-854-4452, and request especially brochure number one. Brochure number one gives over 700 titles, tapes, VCRs, books, booklets, pamphlets, papers, defending the King James Bible as superior, defending the Masoretic Hebrew text that underlies it as superior, defending the Textus Receptus Greek New Testament text as superior. I'm sure they would help. All right, let's go to comment number 70. Comment number 70 out of 73. We're winding down. Won't be long. We'll be finished with this analysis of Dr. Ernest Pickering's paper on Bible translations. Comment number 70 on page 46. To what extent do those who use and encourage others to use perverted Bible versions pervert the Word of God? To what extent do those who use and encourage others to use perverted Bible versions pervert the Word of God? Dr. Pickering wrote as follows, quote, "Those, for example, who hold that the Textus Receptus and the King James Version constitute the true text should certainly be respected and given the liberty to hold this view. On the other hand, those who hold to a different view, such as that of an eclectic text, and who employ a translation other than the King James in their ministry, would be allowed or should be allowed the privilege of doing that without being castigated, maligned, or placed under a cloud of suspicion as possible collaborators in perverting the Word of God." Unquote. Well, what do you think about that? I certainly don't want to put anyone wrongly in the position of being possible collaborators in perverting the Word of God. But I believe that these men, including Dr. Pickering, should be educated and enlightened as to the extent of perversions that are found in the versions they are using and encouraging others to use. They should be enlightened as to the extent of perversions as far as changing the Hebrew text, the extent of the perversions as far as changing the Greek text, and most especially the extent of perversions as far as the false technique which is used, known as paraphrase or dynamic equivalency, when rendering the Hebrew into English and Greek into English. and the extent of perversions in theology that are made use by the new or modern versions. This, of course, should be done. I believe it very, very sincerely. I believe education is the answer. I believe someone who uses and preaches from the New International Version, for example, for whatever reason, whether knowingly or unknowingly, and calls it the Word of God and the Bible in the English language, will have a lot to answer for before the judgment seat of Christ. While I must leave the final judgment to the Lord Jesus in this matter, I'm going to be very honest about the fact that it is a most serious and eternal matter with serious and eternal consequences which version you preach from and read. I happen to believe that God Almighty will pour out His wrath and anger at any man or any woman who tampers with or alters or adds to or subtracts from His words. And this is exactly what these people have done in these new versions and perversions. Well, write us for this number 2040P, get it for yourself, and see what we're talking about. We believe that the King James Bible is superior. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long, until next week. We now present the Bible for the Day of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 231. 231 weeks of broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Our phone number, 609-854-4452. Jot it down, 609-854-4452. Why not call us if you have questions or comments? We'd like to hear from you. Bible for Today is a institution that is a Baptist fellowship, a Baptist fundamentalist organization, standing for the entire counsel of the Word of God. If you'd like more information about us, write Why the Bible for Today. Information about your speaker and about our ministry and about our doctrines and beliefs. Also, we'll send you the BFT Bible for Today news report. Also, the brochure number one, request that, over 700 titles about the superiority of the King James Bible. Or if you'd like information on the Dean Burgon Society, we'd be glad to send you the Dean Burgon News and also Articles of Faith so you see what we believe in that organization as well. We're talking about refutation of Dr. Ernest Pickering on Bible translations. If you'd like to follow along with us, we're almost finished with it. BFT number 2040P. Number 2040P, write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy of this important documentation. All right, we're talking about comment number 71. We're on page 47. Comment number 71, we should not have bitterness in our hearts toward our brethren. This is the comment, Dr. Pickering wrote this. Bitterness in our hearts toward our brethren is sinful no matter what the cause. Now we've taken this up, this study of Dr. Pickering's position on Bible translations. We've pointed out before, he's a Bible-believing fundamentalist, he's a Baptist, similar to myself, But I'm taking this up because this is one of the current types of arguments that are raised against the King James Bible and the Greek and Hebrew texts that underlie it. And this is my purpose. We intend on this broadcast to continue to answer various articles and various books and booklets that have been written contrary to what we believe to be the truth and the true situation in regard to our King James Bibles. Well, in regard to bitterness in our heart toward our brethren, I agree we should not have bitterness in our hearts toward our brethren. We should have a proper attitude toward our brethren, even though we might disagree and differ with them strongly. This does not mean that we should put away the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12, just because it is a brother who is out of line with the Scripture. It does not mean that we should sit idly by while the words of God are trampled and changed, added to, subtracted from. It does not mean that we should cease contending earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, Jude 1:4. And as I said before, the most important part of the faith which was once delivered unto the saints is the very Word of God and the very words of God. This is the faith for which we must earnestly contend. If we have no Bible, we have no faith. If we have no Bible, we're not sure of the Bible and certain of the words of the Bible, Hebrew and Greek, and then in the various languages that we speak, French and German and English and Spanish and French and Russian and Chinese and Japanese and so on, if we're not certain of our Bible, we cannot earnestly contend for the faith that that Bible speaks of. We must have earnest contention for this area of the faith. That is the very bedrock, the Bible itself. It does not mean that we should not be strong in our reasons and dogmatic in our expressions when we are on the reliable ground of truth. But all of these things can be done without either bitterness or hatred. For example, both Dr. Pickering and I strongly oppose and expose, wherever possible, many of the beliefs, practices, and methods of Dr. Billy Graham. We consider him to be a new evangelical. We consider him to be a compromiser. We unite on that. Yet I do not believe either of us have either bitterness or hatred for him as a brother in Christ. I believe that people often interpret strong opposition and exposure of what we consider to be error as bitterness or hatred. This is wrong and unfortunate. This is judgment of motives which only God can know for certain. So that doesn't mean that we should not oppose error and expose error, but we must have an attitude that is lacking in hatred and bitterness for the person that we are exposing. All right, comment number 72 out of 73. We should not have bitterness over Bible translations, but it is a very important subject. Dr. Pickering wrote, "Bitterness in our hearts toward our brethren is sinful no matter what the cause. It is most lamentable when it issues from differences of opinion over Bible translations." Unquote. Well, let's examine that. Let's examine that. The way this is phrased by Dr. Pickering might lead someone to conclude that differences of opinion over Bible translations is not so very important after all. Now, I agree that bitterness in our hearts toward our brethren should never be in evidence by any Spirit-filled contender for the faith, regardless of how strongly or how ardently or how persuasively or how violently they might disagree with brethren on many issues. Bitterness in our hearts should not be there, even though we differ on strong issues. But having said that, let me emphasize again the supreme supreme importance of the Bible, or bibliology, as we call it in theology. That's one of the first things we take up in theology itself, is bibliology, the study of the Bible, the doctrine of the Bible, and all about the Bible, what it is, and how we got it, and so on. I believe in Dr. Lewis Perry Schaeffer's theological studies, 8-volume systematic theology. If I'm not mistaken, it seems to me that that is taken up in volume 1 of the 8, the original volume. They've condensed it now, and Dr. Walford and others have boiled it down into 2 volumes. And by the way, they're using the New International Version in the Dallas Seminary Schaeffer's Theology, Systematic Theology, 2-volume set, instead of the King James Bible, which Dr. Schaeffer used and believed in. But we've got a supreme importance of the Bible, of bibliology. If we don't know where or what our Bible is, where or what our Bible is, we are of all men and women most miserable. If we have doubts about certain words, doubts about certain verses, about doctrines, or entire passages of the Bible, we are right where Satan wants to have us. And this, of course, is the situation with these new versions. There are doubts on words, doubts on verses, doubts on doctrines, doubts on entire passages. Mark 16, 9 to 20, the woman taken in adultery. John 7, 58, is it, to 8, 11, or 56 to 8, 11, the last verse of chapter 7. And that's where Satan would have us to be. Questioning, doubting. He was, that is Satan, and he is the supreme doubter of the words of God. And the issue of Bible translations is of paramount importance when the very words of God are at stake. We're not now merely toying with the ideas of men, but the very words of the living God before whom we all must stand one day to give an account. If you're listening to me and you're lost, you will have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account what you've done with him, why you've rejected him, why you've spurned his love at Calvary, shedding his blood, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God the Father. And if you're saved, you'll have to stand also before the Lord Jesus Christ to give an account what you've done with him after you've been saved, what you've done in obedience, what you've done with his words, what you've done with the translation of the Bible. These are the words of Christ. It's of paramount importance. It's not simply the words of men. And the last several broadcasts, we've called your attention to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12 and 13. Now we have received, says Paul, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, that is, the things given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And we use spiritual words when we talk about spiritual things. And we talk about words that the Holy Spirit has given, and who the Holy Spirit that teaches us the very words that we have to use. And Paul, as one of the writers in the New Testament, said that the words he speaks and the words that are in his mouth are not the words which man's wisdom teacheth, by which the Holy Spirit teaches. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God teaches the very words. And this subject is not a subject that deals with the ideas of men and the words of men, but the words of the living God. I personally will never put down my sword in the defense of my Savior, defense of my God, or in the defense of every one of his words. I will, with Paul, fight the good fight of the faith. And that word "the" is in there in the Greek text. Fight the good fight of the faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. And as I said before, the most important part of that faith, the most important part of that faith is the Bible itself. That's the seed plot of faith. That is the source of faith and the faith, the source of all doctrine. I will do so with every ounce of my being, fight the good fight of the faith. I will seek to please only the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, rather than men. Now that's not a popular thing to do, is it? Especially when you're talking about fellow believers and when they have differences of opinions. But we must be strong. I will do so without the slightest speck of bitterness or hatred for my brethren. I don't believe that's necessary. We don't have to hate our brethren. We don't have to hate and have bitterness in our hearts for our brethren, even though they differ with us, and even though we're ardent and fearless and forceful in our defense of the Word of God. Since the Bible repeatedly tells us that we must love the good and hate the evil, we must do it. We must be as our Savior, who loved righteousness and hated iniquity, Hebrews 2:9. With this in mind, we are perfectly scriptural when we hate the evil actions, words, doctrines, or practices of men and women, even if they are brethren. Now get that straight. I didn't say that we were to hate the brethren. I said that we are to hate iniquity, as the Lord Jesus himself hated iniquity. We're to hate evil. And the evil that we're to hate are actions. That's an observable, objective reality. We're to hate evil words. We're to hate evil doctrines. We're to hate evil practices of men, evil practices of women, even if they're evil practices of brethren. We do not, we should not, and we cannot hate the people themselves. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his Father upon the cross of Calvary, you remember, which is subtracted from many of these modern perversions, by the way, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this is the case with many of our brethren. They know not what they do. Many of them do know what they do, but still, we must hate their evil, their actions that are evil, their words that may be evil, their doctrines that may be evil, but not hate themselves, they themselves, the people themselves. Now, all this distinction is again misunderstood and misinterpreted by some. It is nonetheless, I believe, a true and valid one. Wouldn't you agree? Now, the subject of Bible translations is the most important one there is. We've said this over and over on our broadcast. We're going to say it again, if you just bear with us. If you do not have the proper Bible, you do not have the proper theology or doctrine. On this very subject of bedrock importance, we must have a strong position, as well as a factual documentation to support that position in favor of the text. And in the Bible for Today ministry, we have our brochure number 1, which currently has over 700 titles defending the King James Bible and the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie it, while at the same time opposing and exposing the various modern versions and perversions that are in opposition to the King James Bible. Now, these over 700 titles include books, booklets, VCRs, and cassettes. I'd like you to write us for that. Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or simply Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. That's all the address you need. They know us at the post office. We've been here 26 years now, 26 years in this same address, the same place, and this is our headquarters, the Bible for Today, on an international basis. We're here. Or call us if you prefer, 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. 4452. I enjoy talking with our listeners. They call us, and whenever I'm home, our secretary puts me on, as well as she takes any information that she needs, but she puts me on, and we chat a bit and talk and answer any questions that our listeners may have, and we appreciate this. We certainly do. But if you've never called us before for anything, there's no charge or obligation to this. There's sure number one, over 700 titles that we carry out of the 2,100 in total that we have in our Bible for Today ministry. Write us for these 700 plus titles defending the King James Bible and against these other versions. We'll send it to you. 609-854-4452. Many of the books we carry are reprints of good books on this subject that have gone out of print or are difficult to obtain. We're adding more titles each week. We have over, as I said before, 2,100 titles currently in our Bible for Today ministry, but over 700 of these are majoring in the defense of the King James Bible, the best of all, and defending the Masoretic traditional Hebrew text that underlies the Old Testament of our King James Bible, and defending the Textus Receptus, received Greek text that underlies the King James Bible in the New Testament, and analyzing and criticizing the various modern versions. And if you're interested in this material, it'll tell you what we have, what we carry. You'd be surprised at the phenomenal number of materials that we have on these issues. And we're not speaking, my friend, we are not speaking from ignorance of this subject, of this topic. We're not talking from a lack of knowledge and a lack of books and a lack of documentation that you can read and study for yourself. We have an abundance of these materials, and we urge you to be interested enough to look into the other side of the coin, the other side of the picture, why it is that men like myself cry out in favor of the superiority of the King James Bible and cry out against the perversions that are all around us in the Living Version and today's English Version and the New English Version and the New King James Version and the New American Standard Version and the American Standard Version and the New International Version and the Revised Standard Version and the New Revised Standard Version and all the others in between. You will see that we have sense amidst the ignorance. Sense, common sense, facts amidst the untruths and the things that are false that are being bandied about. Well, here's number 73 out of 73 comments. The final one, we're on page 48 of our documentation. Write us for, if you're interested in this whole study, number 2040P. 2040P. Write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy of this important study. Comment number 73, if your pastor continues to use a version other than the King James Bible, seek out a sound church that uses the King James Bible. Now that's comment number 73. Dr. Pickering's question number 24 was this, quote, my pastor is using a translation other than the King James Version in his preaching and or teaching. I am confused when trying to follow in my King James Version. What should I do? Unquote. All right, this is a good question, isn't it? Here's a pastor that uses something other than the King James Bible as he's preaching. All right, what do you do? Well, what does Dr. Pickering answer? I disagree with this answer, but here's what he says. Quote, the best thing to do is to purchase a copy of the version your pastor is using, assuming, of course, he is a fundamental preacher and using an acceptable version. Bring this version with you to church, and thus you will be able to enjoy and benefit from the ministry of the Word. You can still use your King James or other version for private study. Unquote. Did you hear that? Simply switch over to whatever your pastor is using. Do you agree with that? Before I give my answer on this, let me simply tell you, just yesterday as this broadcast is being made, a man called me up, a dentist in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He's an Episcopalian. He said his pastor, they call them rectors there in the Episcopal Church, his rector for years used the King James Bible and spoke from it and preached from it, and it was a conservative type of the Episcopalian church. All of a sudden, they were without a rector for about a year, I think it was, and then they got a new man. This pastor, this rector, now makes use of the new Revised Standard Version. Well, you know, the Revised Standard Version is the version adopted and copyrighted by the National Council of Churches, the apostate-led council of churches in this country. And the new Revised Standard Version is the same. It's just an updating of that Revised Standard Version. And this is a miserable, miserable translation and version to be using for any church, any pastor, anywhere. Well, I'm sure Dr. Picker would say this is not an acceptable version, and therefore throw it out and so forth and so on. But, my friend, this man said, where can I find a church? Where can I find a church? He got my name from someone, I forget just exactly how it was, and they suggested that they call me, and he wondered about the Dean Burgon Society, and I told him about the Dean Burgon Society, and I told him about the Bible for Today ministry, and he asked me, where can I find a church that stands for the King James Bible? I gave him two churches. One was in Philadelphia, Crescentville Baptist Church. Pastor Chick Deere is the pastor. Dr. Deere is standing strong on the King James Bible. In fact, he had me to preach there one time and take his place in the summer, and he asked me to speak on the preaching on an exposition of a Bible topic and a Bible book for one message, and then another message in the evening to talk about the superiority of the King James Bible. And afterward, he must have heard the tape, and afterward he said he really appreciated setting that straight to his people in regard to the superiority of the King James Bible. And he appreciated that we gave to the folk there. And I gave this name and telephone number of Dr. Chick Deere, and there in Crescentville Baptist Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I said he stands for the King James, he preaches from it, and I think you will not be disappointed in it at all. And if he goes there, I said, please tell Pastor Deere that I sent you and I recommended his church because it's a King James, the church that preaches from the King James Bible. Sound church, fundamental church, it's an independent Baptist fundamental church, and it's in the pastor is the moderator, in fact, of the Independent Baptist Fellowship, which I'm also an individual member of. And so he said, well, will they accept an Episcopalian, a Baptist church? I told him, I apologize, I don't know any Episcopalian churches that preach from the King James Bible. I'm a Baptist, and I can tell you some Baptist churches that use the King James and preach from it. He said, well, can I be welcome? I said, well, absolutely. You can be welcome to a Baptist church even though you are an Episcopalian. Of course, as you know, their form is different from the Baptist formlessness, you might say. We're very informal. But people are asking about King James Bible churches. And where can they go? We've had other requests for the same thing. This is an important issue. And when the pastor is preaching from another version, and men and women are asking, where can I go and what should I do? And I also gave them, by the way, the name of our own church where I'm a member, Haddon Heights Baptist Church in Haddon Heights, New Jersey. Dr. Terrence Terry R. Smith is the pastor there, and he preaches from the King James Bible. I told the man, and it's right over the bridge, not too far from Philadelphia. He said, well, I may visit over there also. I said, I think you'd like the church. It's a little larger church than the other one. We have about 800, I guess, that come in the morning service or so. The other church is about probably 250 or something in that neighborhood. But I said, now the pastor doesn't explain or go into detail on the King James Bible, and there are other people in the church that use other versions. But he preaches from, without apology, from the King James Bible, and he's faithful in that. He never changes in any other version. And so we give him that recommendation as well. Well, anyhow, what should you do when the pastor preachers from another version other than the one that you're using? Dr. Pickering answers the best thing to do, purchase a copy of the version your pastor is using, assuming it's fundamental preacher and using an acceptable version. But what he considers to be acceptable is, if I wouldn't consider acceptable, of course, bring this version with you to church, and thus you'll be able to enjoy and benefit from the ministry of the Word. You can still use your King James or other version for private study. Well, here's my answer. I could not possibly disagree with Dr. Pickering more on this question. Unless your pastor is using the King James Bible in his preaching and or teaching, I would recommend that you seek out a sound church that uses the King James Bible. I would first try to encourage your pastor in a very kind, sympathetic manner to use the King James. If he would be open to receive it, you could offer to provide him with some sound literature on this subject. Perhaps from my brochure number one, listing over 700 titles on this issue. If your pastor is still determined to use another version, I would counsel you to seek out a sound church that uses the King James Bible. Now, I've got more in my answer here. I'm going to stop right here. Lord willing, next week we're going to finish up this topic, Dr. Pickering's paper on the Bible versions. Now, I want you to tune in. We're going to finish up, and then we'll probably review by summing up the various topics that we've discussed on this particular theme of Dr. Pickering and his booklet on Bible versions. So we'll continue and finish up this last 73rd comment out of 73, and then more or less give a summary and a review. Hope you're there. Hope you'll be with us so that we can have the facts before you on this important issue. Again, if you're interested in this particular study, write us for 2040P. Number 2040P will tell you how you may receive your copy of this 60-page documentation. I believe it's 60 pages. Yeah, 60 pages. You know. And we want you to understand that the subject of Bible versions is not a light, ephemeral, passing type of fad. This is an important topic of all the Christian faith in the modern Christian world in which we battle today. And the devil wants us to get us away from the Bible, and especially the King James Bible. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Trust him. Then write to us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next week. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at this same time over this same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 232. 232 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Our phone number, 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Call us if you have questions or comments. We'd like to hear from you. If you'd like more information on the Bible for Today ministry, ask us for Why the Bible for Today. It's a tract. We'll send it to you with our compliments, as well as a copy of the Bible for Today news report. Also, if you'd like more information on the Dean Burgon Society, write us for the Articles of Faith, and we'll send you the Dean Burgon News. Also request brochure number one, over 700 titles we carry defending the King James Bible and the underlying Hebrew and Greek texts against the various versions and perversions. Write us for that. And then if you'd like the refutation that we're going on right now, number 2040P, refutation of Dr. Ernest Pickering on Bible translations, write us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy of this 60-page documentation. Number 2040P. Ask for it, and we'll tell you how you may receive it. We're on page 49. We're finishing up this broadcast and this week. We'll take a new broadcast next week. New topic. But Lord willing, this week we're going to finish up the 73rd comment on of 73 that we've refuted Dr. Pickering on his pamphlet on Bible translations. We've been talking about comment 73 as of last broadcast. If your pastor continues to use a version other than the King James Bible, my counsel is seek out a sound church that does use the King James Bible. Now, that's different from Dr. Pickering's suggestion. Dr. Pickering asked the question, if the pastor is using a translation other than the King James Version in his preaching and teaching, I am confused when trying to follow in my King James Version. What should I do? This is question number 24 out of 24 questions and answers of Dr. Pickering. And he answers, just by way of review, the best thing, he says, to do is to purchase a copy of the version your pastor is using, assuming, of course, he is a fundamental preacher and using an acceptable version. Bring this version with you to church, and thus you'll be able to enjoy and benefit from the ministry of the Word. You can still use your King James or other version for private study, unquote. Well, as I said last broadcast, I couldn't possibly disagree more with Dr. Pickering on this question. Unless your pastor is using the King James Bible in his preaching and teaching, I would recommend that you seek out a sound church that uses the King James Bible. Now, the question has been raised many years ago, at what point will this issue of the King James Bible and the King James Bible texts, Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament, the Textus Receptus New Testament, at what point will there be a division of fellowship and it be used as a test of fellowship? And I answered that in the debate that we had with Dr. Custer and Price at one of the meetings in Illinois several years back. Dr. Cuello was our partner, the two of us against the two of them, and we debated the Greek text of the Textus Receptus that underlies the King James Bible. And the question was raised, is this a point of biblical fellowship, or is this a test, and should it be a test of fellowship as to which version of the Greek text we use? And I said, perhaps not now, but along the line, some point it may be, and I believe that this is entirely possible and true. I believe it's best for churches to agree with one another, the people, the members, the pastor, the people and church members of that church. Don't you agree with that? I believe that we should have the least possible contention in churches. That's why we have denominations, is it not? Those of you who believe in sprinkling babies are against those of us who are Baptists who disagree about sprinkling babies, and we baptize by immersion only those that are born again believers in Christ, or at least professing to be born again and trusting Christ as their Savior. Now, this doctrine has split and divided people down through the history of the Christian church. And I believe that this is a wise division in a sense. Not that I believe the baby sprinkling is right. I believe that baptism by immersion is scriptural. Baptism means to immerse, to dip. And I believe it's scriptural in the book of Acts that only believers were baptized after they were saved. But I'm not saying that I agree with infant baptism, but I'm saying that I believe that it is wise and prudent to have a different church such as a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church or an Episcopalian church or a Roman Catholic church, though I don't agree with a lot of these doctrines of these churches, believe me, but it's well to have them separated and segregated as far as infant baptism is concerned and baptismal regeneration, some of the other doctrines that we hold to be false. Otherwise, you would have in one church all the different beliefs and doctrines, not only about baptism, but about church government, about elders versus deacons, and all the other things. As far as the Roman Catholics are concerned, you'd have a million and one other false doctrines brought in to the church as a whole. And so I believe that the Scriptures teach, in 1 Corinthians there is a verse, saying that there needs must be divisions, that they which are the approved part may be manifest. There must be schisms, there must be divisions, and I believe that's scriptural to have what we call denominations. Even though I don't like them many times, I believe it's wise to have those who are in accord with the greatest degree of accordance and agreement to be together in one church. Now, don't you agree with that? That's why when we have church membership classes in our churches, Baptist churches, for example, we ask the people about our church doctrine. Do you understand the church doctrine? Do you understand the church's position? And if so, do you agree with it? And we need agreement. Local churches do not need more fights. They do not need more contentions. We have enough of those as it is, even on the part of those who say they agree with one another doctrinally. And so this issue of the King James Bible and the King James Version versus other versions perhaps has come at this point in time to a situation similar to denominational differences. Now, for example, we have differences, as you know, in the idea of future things. Is the Lord Jesus Christ coming before the tribulation period? We believe that he is. The Bible for today stands for the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Is he coming in the middle of the tribulation, the mid-tribulation rapture? No, we do not believe so. Some do. Is it post-tribulation, after the tribulation, and then he will come? Some do. Is he going to set up a millennium, a thousand-year reign of Christ on earth? Yes, we believe that he is. Some don't believe. They are millennial, or they're post-millennial. They believe they can bring in the kingdom themselves of righteousness and peace. And so if you have all these beliefs in one church, you are going to have a battle. Do you believe that salvation is by grace, through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing and minus nothing? We believe, as Baptists, and Bible for Today's doctrinal statement clearly teaches that we're saved by grace, God's grace, unmerited favor, through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, without any human works or activity. And we believe we're saved forever. We have everlasting life. Once we've been born again, we have not been possible, we haven't had a possibility of being unborn any more than we can be unborn in our physical life. Now, we believe that we are saved for eternity once we're genuinely converted. I say genuinely converted, not just a head assent, but a heart regeneration by God's Holy Spirit. But there are many denominations and churches and people that don't believe you're saved for eternity, but that your works save you, and your works, the bad works, can make you lost again. And then you can be saved again, and then you can be lost again. We don't believe that in the Bible for today. We believe that that is false doctrine, unscriptural doctrine. And to have those people that believe these different views in the same local church, we're going to have fights. We're going to have battles. You'll never be able to get a pastor called if you have a pastor that rides these fences on both sides. It can't be done. Well, what is the difference between all what we've said there and the idea of having a version of the Bible? And we believe the King James Bible is the version that should be used. What's wrong with having a version of the Bible that the church accepts and agrees to use and is unified on? Instead of having all sorts of different Bibles and versions and perversions being used by the various members in the church, where confusion will reign. And so I recommend that if the pastor begins using something other than the King James Bible, that you seek another church where the King James Bible is preached and is used. I would first, of course, as I said last broadcast, try to encourage your pastor in a very kind, sympathetic manner to use the King James Bible. If he would be open to receive it, you could offer to provide him with some sound literature on this subject. Perhaps from my brochure number 1, which lists over 700 titles. A pastor just called me just yesterday from the state of Minnesota, and he asked me about what I recommend as far as materials that he should use and study on to bring this out to his congregation. I recommended 3 titles to him. He suggested one by Dean John William Burgon, the number 611, Revision Revised. He asked me what it was about. I told him, and he's going to get that. We're going to send that to him, COD, as he requested. I also suggested he get 1594P, which is my book that I've written. I call it The King James Bible's Superiority, God's Word Kept Intact in English. It's 1594P, and I recommended that. And I believe that pastors that want to know should be given information. The day before that, I had another pastor call. Actually, he was not a pastor. He was a music minister in one of the churches, a Baptist church. And he said, I'd like to have more information on the New King James Version. What's wrong with it? And we discussed some of the errors that it had and some of the things, and he's ordered several materials from our office on that. And I believe that some pastors who are perhaps on the fence on this thing may be persuaded as they read and as they study some of these materials and books. Over 700 that we carry, there are others I'm sure that we don't carry, but this is a possibility. But if your pastor is still determined to use another version, he's weighed the evidence as he believes, and he doesn't think that the King James Bible is fit to use anymore in preaching and teaching from his pulpit and encouraging his people to listen to and to use, I would counsel to seek a sound church, fundamental Bible-believing church that uses the King James Bible. Now, they may have some other things that you don't agree with. You cannot always agree 100% with everything when you're seeking a local church. You know that. I know that. Churches are not perfect. And whenever you go into a local church, there's some things that you may not be appreciative of. Our daughter, for example, and son-in-law were seeking to find a church there in Jacksonville, Florida. It was difficult. It was very difficult. Especially difficult many times was the music that they have in the churches. The soundtracks, which are with the rock beat or the contemporary music beat, the handheld mics that are so close to the mouth that it looks like they're swallowing the mic. There are various things that they did not appreciate. Some of the preaching you have to get used to. And so they've changed churches a few times, but they finally found one that they, on balance, agree with and appreciate. But every church that you find, you've got some things that you perhaps don't like, but you have to take the bitter with the sweet sometimes. This church that they're going to preaches from the King James Bible, and the pastor appreciates that Bible, and he wants to confirm it in his church to the various meetings and various types of subject matter that are going on, and pageants and the Christmas plays, and he seeks to conform it. And so this is important, I believe, for young people and older people as well when they seek a church with all these modern versions and perversions floating all over the countryside. I believe it is of utmost importance that those who have firm convictions on the Bible that they're using, and the King James Bible especially, that it's the closest translation, most accurate translation to the Hebrew and Greek text anywhere in the English language, if they have that conviction as I do, and as the Bible for Today does, and the Dean Burgon Society does, then it behooves you, if you're seeking a church, to go to a church whose pastor preaches faithfully from that Bible, the King James Bible. I counsel this way because I do not believe any of the versions can be held up as the Word of God in English. Only the King James Bible can be considered, as far as I'm concerned, as the Word of God in English. If your pastor is not using the King James Bible in his preaching and or teaching, he is not using the Word of God in English, according to my belief, and according to the belief of the Bible for Today and the Dean Burgon Society. Now, that's just a matter that we have come to believe. You take these other versions based as they are on the Westcott and Hort Greek text, or the Nestle Allen 26th edition Greek text, or the United Bible Society's Greek text, or some other Greek text in the New Testament alone, that text drops 2,886 words from the Greek New Testament. We've said this before in the broadcast. How can a version, a perversion, whose Greek text drops out 2,886 words from the New Testament scriptures, how can that version, based upon that text, be the Word of God in English? You cannot have 2,886 words separating you between this version and that. You must come to a conviction. And those words, by the way, include over 356 passages dealing with doctrines. I singled out 158 of those. We've mentioned them on the broadcast before. Doctrinal deviations in the versions. And so we cannot consider those to be the Word of God in English. On the contrary, if that pastor is using a version, and purports to be a Bible, this version purports to be a Bible, which to a greater or lesser degree harms the words of God in one or all of three ways. Number one, it adds to the words of God. Number two, it subtracts from the words of God. And or number three, it changes the words of God. As we mentioned before in the study and on the broadcast, the box score in these departments of addition, subtraction, and change are as follows. The New King James Version, 2,000 plus paraphrases examples. New American Standard Version, 4,000 plus paraphrase examples. New International Version, 6,653 plus paraphrase examples. Now, these are simply from my own studies that I have written and made, and they're available to you. The computer printout studies of these versions that fundamentalists and Bible-believing Christians are using. I'm not satisfied with such versions at all. I would hope that my fellow believers would not be satisfied with them either. The Greek texts of the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, and the New King James Version footnotes, as we said before, have removed 2,886 words from the received Greek text, many of which words affect major doctrines of Scripture. As for Dr. Pickering's suggestion that we should purchase a copy of the version our pastor is using and bring this version with you to church, I would reject this idea completely unless that version is the King James Bible, and then by all means, bring that King James Bible to church if your pastor is using it. But how would you be able to know if your pastor is using an NIV or an NASB or a New King James or whatever, how would you be able to know where and to what extent the other version had added, subtracted, or changed the words of God if you didn't have your King James Bible to detect it, to give you to understand it? The King James Bible is so accurate that you can use it to discover where and when a version has departed from the Hebrew and or Greek text that underlie. Now, that's almost true without exception. Without your King James Bible in your hand, or the underlying Hebrew and Greek text, if you speak Hebrew and Greek, or you understand it, or you read it, without the King James Bible in your hand, you would be lulled to sleep by the false version your pastor was using without any ammunition with which to fight the changes. This would mean surrender. I would never recommend that. After it quits being the Word of God, you have to part company with it. And it's quite obvious after a while that your pastor does not desire, and after this is the case, that he doesn't desire to change, he doesn't intend to change, you should very tactfully inform him of your intentions, I believe, to change churches just as soon as you can find a sound church that uses the King James Bible. Now, in some instances, I'm afraid your pastor might even be happy to see you go. In some instances, you'll not be a thorn in his side on this issue. And he can continue using a perverted version of the Bible with a clear conscience, perhaps, even though that version is a perversion. For my part, I would not be comfortable in any church whose pastor were preaching from the New International Version, as did Dr. Pickering in his Toledo, Ohio, Emmanuel Baptist Church, or whose pastor were preaching from the New American Standard Version, or whose pastor were preaching from the New King James Version, or whose pastor were preaching from any of the modern versions, such as the New English Version, the Living Version, Today's English Version, Good News for Modern Man, Revised Standard Version, Jerusalem Version, New Revised Standard Version, Berkeley Version, New Berkeley Version, American Standard Version, or any others. I would not be satisfied or happy in such churches. Now that's my belief. That's my conviction. I praise the Lord that I am a member of a church whose pastor does use the King James Bible in his preaching and or teaching. He doesn't make any apologies for it. He just uses it. This is becoming a problem that will not go away. Every church in this country and around the world will have to face the problem of Bible translations squarely and forthrightly. It appears to me that we're going to have a unity in this matter. Either we're going to have the King James Bible preaching churches where unity can prevail, or else we're going to have New International Version churches where unity can prevail, though this to me would be quite sad, or else we're going to have New American Standard Version churches where unity can prevail, though again this would be quite sad. But there should be a unity in the churches. Well, what is my conclusion? I'm on page 50 of our report, Dr. D.A. Waite speaking, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, our phone number 609-854-4452, 609-854-4452. Call us if you're interested in getting this edition of this study, number 2040P. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy of this important documentation. We've been discussing and refuting questions and answers about Bible translations by Dr. Ernest Pickering. He earned his Ph.D., Doctor of Theology degree from Dallas Theological Seminary, same as I. He's the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's president of the Central Baptist Seminary in that city. He's a Baptist. He's a fundamentalist. He's a separatist. He's still my friend, and I hope I'm still his after this study. We have known each other since 1948, when we entered together Dallas Theological Seminary in the same class. Graduated in 1952 with a Master of Theology in the same class. He was from Bob Jones University. I from the University of Michigan. This has been now over 43 years that we have met and known one another. But although we've trained at the same seminary, the Theological Seminary, I do differ with Dr. Pickering very decidedly and widely on these matters of the Bible, the versions, the Hebrew text, the Greek text, the translators, the technique of translating, paraphrasing, dynamic equivalency, the theological errors in the versions, and which version of the Bible to preach and teach from in the local church, both in the pulpit and in the Bible school, to keep the unity of the faith. So we agree on many things, but we disagree on these matters that relate to the Bible and Bible versions. I consider this defense of the very words of the Bible to be the most important fundamental of the Christian faith, about which we are commanded to earnestly contend, Jude 1:4. I believe one of the things that has been once delivered unto the saints is the word of the living God, the Bible. And this includes every word in that Bible, including the Old Testament Hebrew words, the New Testament Greek words, and the proper translating, not paraphrasing, of those very words into the languages of English, Spanish, French, Italian, Latin, and so on, Russian, Chinese, Japanese, and every other language of the world. I believe this is the task of the believers today, to see that proper words are rendered in these different languages from proper Hebrew texts and proper Greek texts. And we believe that every language of the world should have a Bible that is a real translation, not a paraphrase, not a perversion, not something that we can throw together and add man's words and man's human wisdom to. As Paul says we should not do, Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13, we mentioned that on several broadcasts, he says we want to know the things that are freely given to us by God, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but that which the Holy Spirit of God teacheth. And the words that the Holy Spirit of God taught to the writers and gave to the writers were derived from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was the source of these words. And to take away any of his words in the New Testament or Old Testament, I believe, were taking away from the very words that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, was the source of, even in the New Testament. He says the Holy Spirit of God shall not speak of himself, from himself, as to the source and authority, but whatsoever he shall hear of me, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And the Holy Spirit of God took the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is an important topic. And these are issues for which I will continue earnestly to contend. The Bible is not only one of the matters of the faith that we're to contend for, but in my judgment, it is the most important matter of all. If our Bible goes, our entire faith goes also. The Christian faith is only as sound and straight as the Bible on which it is based. And this has been just a superficial surface survey of these comments. We've had 73 of these comments about Dr. Pickering's paper. We have many more things we could say concerning it. In fact, we have an entire seminar, 4 cassettes, over 6 hours, where we take this up in greater detail. It's available. It's BFT number 1979/1-4, 4 cassettes. And it's available on VCR as BFT 1979 VCR. Now, write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy of this important documentation and the cassette studies. The seminar is based on the textbook entitled The King James Bible, God's Word Kept Intact in English. Excuse me, God's Word Kept Intact in English. It's BFT number 1594P, 153 large pages with index. Write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copies of these various publications and documentations if you need to. And this is very important. We recommend these to you for further study if you care to pursue it in a greater detail. Next broadcast, we're going to continue on the reputation of one of the other men who has been currently writing on this subject. We believe that on this broadcast, at least the weekly broadcast, it's helpful to see what people are saying concerning other versions and other perversions and what they're saying against the King James Bible. And if it's true, we ought to accept it as true, but if it's false, we ought to refute it. And we haven't decided at this point as to which of the many documents we're going to be refuting, but stay tuned until next week and we'll let you know and we'll start in. And you may receive more instruction, we trust, on the superiority of the King James Bible. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's the Lord Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not go to hell, but have everlasting life. Why don't you trust him? And then write to us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us, 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next week.